What happens when the life you've been saving for never arrives? A father spends decades dreaming of visiting America's national parks, postponing the journey until retirement finally comes. Just months after that long-awaited day, a stroke steals not just his mobility, but every deferred adventure. This isn't a cautionary tale, it's a mirror. How many of us are living in perpetual rehearsal, waiting for some mythical right time that keeps receding like a horizon? The uncomfortable truth is that someday functions as a socially acceptable way to abandon our dreams while maintaining the illusion we still care about them. We've become experts at deferring joy, as if happiness were something to be earned through suffering rather than claimed through courage. Draw a square, divide it into four sections. Now answer without filtering. What are you doing that you want to do? What are you not doing that you want to do? What are you doing that you don't want to do? What are you not doing that you don't want to do? This deceptively simple exercise, the 4-minute four-box happiness quiz, reveals the architecture of your actual life versus the one you claim to want. Those first and fourth boxes show what's working. The second and third, they're where your some days hide, dressed up as responsibilities and reasonable delays. Consider the widowed father who realized his health had become a casualty of single parenting. Rather than waiting for a less chaotic season, he joined a free mall walking club. One decision addressed multiple needs: exercise, human connection, potential friendships. The breakthrough wasn't finding more time, it was refusing to wait for it. As Abraham Lincoln observed, most of us are about as happy as we decide to be. Happiness doesn't require a personality transplant or winning the lottery. It requires that we stop treating our own joy as optional, something to squeeze in after everything else is perfect. Spoiler, everything else will never be perfect. Vague dreams remain vague. Concrete plans get traction. The difference? A date on the calendar. When you register for that race, book that flight, or schedule that difficult conversation, something shifts. You're no longer someone who should do something, you're someone who will. An 80-year-old competing in an open water swim doesn't possess superhuman willpower. She possesses a registration confirmation and a plane ticket. Most resolutions fail because we focus on deprivation rather than addition. I won't eat carbs is a daily battle. I'm fueling my body with lean protein and vegetables is an identity. The first is restriction. The second aligns with who you're becoming. When time feels precious, we stop postponing simple pleasures. Courage is overrated. What you actually need is trust that you'll figure things out as you go. When offered the helm of a 74-foot schooner, the smart response might be, "I don't know how." The honest response, "Yes." That moment of saying yes to something thrilling and uncertain, that's where life actually happens. As Tina Fey put it, you can't be that kid standing at the top of the water slide overthinking it. Sometimes the boldest choice is right precisely because it scares you. Making room for what matters requires radical life surgery, not tidying. When 95% of possessions were given away, the expected grief never came, only relief. The burden of ownership, cleaning, storing, protecting, moving, had been masquerading as security. Americans have 3 times more living space than previous generations, yet rent 2.3 billion square feet of storage, spending $1,500 annually to house things they never visit. Physical clutter reveals deeper patterns. Some people are 5%ers, those who need you small to feel big. They'll question your sanity or predict failure when you dare want something different. True friends help dreams come true. Others explain why dreams are impractical. Learning to distinguish genuine concern from projected fear is essential. Sometimes the kindest thing is to quit. Cancel the draining commitment. Stop driving through hurricanes because keeping promises supposedly matters more than keeping yourself safe. Breaking promises to others while keeping them to yourself isn't selfish, it's survival. You know you're watering a dead plant when you've hit your head against the same wall for months. If you've examined yourself, changed approaches, offered solutions, and nothing's changed, stop watering that plant. Putting others first sounds noble until you've erased yourself from your own story. Like nearly driving off a cliff while letting an impatient driver pass, habitual self-sacrifice isn't just unhealthy, it's dangerous. It teaches everyone around you that you don't count, and models for your children that their needs don't matter either. The rubber band of routine explains why 3 months into a year by the water were spent in cities and office buildings. Old patterns don't release their grip just because you've announced new intentions. You need boundaries with teeth, specific, measurable commitments that can't be rationalized away. Not, I'll spend more time near water, but I will visit a body of water at least 3 days per week, documented with photos. Why order pasta you didn't want? Because making waves felt harder than swallowing disappointment. Anticipating others' preferences becomes so automatic you forget you have your own. When working for half salary at a mission-driven organization, a year passed with no raise despite significantly boosting revenue. The founder's response when finally confronted, "I was wondering when you'd have the courage to ask." When unhappy, you have 4 options. Avoid it, argue about it, accept it, or alter it. Win-win solutions exist, but only for those willing to propose them. Your morning practice, those first 10 minutes you control, sets the trajectory for everything that follows. Spending them scrolling social media hands your mental state to algorithms. Spending them on goals and gratefuls centers you in what matters before the world makes its demands. Research from Yale, Stanford, and Harvard confirms that gratitude journaling strengthens immune function, reduces anxiety, and deepens relationships. Like exercise, it works whether you feel like doing it or not. Movement equals mood. The more sedentary you become, the more depressed you feel. Your body isn't a vehicle for your brain, it's the reason your brain exists. Your intuition isn't mystical. It's your unconscious mind processing patterns faster than your conscious mind can articulate. That sudden urge to take a different route or call an old friend isn't random. It's information. But intuition only helps those who build margin into their lives to follow it. Making your dream visible makes it viable. TD Bank research found that 82% of small business owners using vision boards accomplished more than half their goals. This isn't magical thinking, it's psychological architecture. What you see daily shapes what you prioritize unconsciously. Yet connection can flood in when you're completely alone, pulling over in Texas Hill Country at golden hour, surrounded by silent grassland. This isn't loneliness, it's solitude. Simon Sinek captures it perfectly. Working hard for something you don't care about is called stress. Working hard for something you love is called passion. A realtor discovered she could play tennis at resort hotels where guests were potential luxury homebuyers, staying fit while naturally meeting qualified clients. The best of all worlds doesn't require choosing, it requires creativity. The retirement model is broken. Waiting until 65 to do what you want is absurd when health and energy peak decades earlier. One woman met a client who bought his dream RV too late. "I waited too damn long, and now I'm too old to enjoy it." That sentence should haunt anyone postponing joy. Launching dreams publicly creates a rising tide effect. When building a historic ship replica on a shoestring budget, working in public view attracted 50 volunteers who contributed expertise, materials, and connections. None of this happens when you suffer in noble silence. When trapped in circumstances you can't escape, find ways to compensate. A film school dropout forced to work at a post office found light by volunteering with the Hawaii International Film Festival. You need not just a light at the end of the tunnel, but a light in the tunnel right now. Sometimes the best way to develop new eyes is to seek new landscapes. After retiring and divorcing amicably, a teacher used her pension to buy a round-the-world ticket, eventually settling in Mexico, where she cooperates a school for the blind. Her urgent message? The world is friendly. An 82-year-old explained that relocating doesn't mean abandoning family. Technology keeps connections strong while allowing exploration of new places where you come alive. Environment matters profoundly. One woman couldn't stop thinking about her ex-boyfriend because her apartment triggered constant memories. After relocating to a Riverside apartment with the same rent, she reported, "I don't even think about him anymore. I've moved on." You don't need something wrong to relocate. Some people are roots people who thrive on familiarity. Others are wings people who come alive with flexibility and variety. Neither approach is superior, but recognizing your preference is crucial. True nomads aren't homeless. They're at home everywhere because they've learned that belonging isn't about location. It's about presence and showing up fully wherever you land. Sometimes perseverance becomes foolishness. Bookstore owners in Kauai discovered that industry advice to diversify was killing them. By focusing solely on books, they thrived. A 25-year-old whose boss dismissed his innovative ideas faced crushing debt, but chose to dream anyway. By reaching out to travel bloggers, he eventually moved to South Korea, teaching ESL and managing a search firm while having adventures worldwide. In a world that worships productivity and defers joy, we've forgotten the most radical act, living now. Your someday isn't coming. The only day you have is today.